Brad, great to have you here. And, you know, as we talk about retirement, why don't we start first with the whole retirement issue, how important it is for us to save. Why is it important?
Well, as with everything, let's go back to the biblical viewpoint here. So the whole idea of saving is not to try to hoard wealth, but it's to save for a specific purpose. So as we look at retirement, what is the purpose behind saving for retirement? And is that actually a valid reason to be saving up money? And I take this all back to 1 Timothy 5:8, where we're told that we should be providing for our relatives and especially for our family. So if we're looking to provide for our family, the way that we do that for most of our lives is through work. So we're working, we're earning an income, and that's how we provide for our family. But we have to be realistic, too. We realize that there may be a day when we can no longer work. So it may be age, it may be disability, it may be, you know, a variety of reasons where we can't provide for our family through work. And saving for retirement is our way to basically save up for that possibility, most likely a scenario that everyone is going to run into, where we need to provide for our family, but we can't go earn the income through labor. So our retirement savings is setting aside money now for that purpose in the future.
Well, Brad, I've got to ask you this because, you know, I know for my parents, and I'm sure Linda's too, they've saved their whole lives. But for their generation, there have been pensions available to them, retirement, their Social Security. What has happened to our economy or investments to cause us to financially have to delay retirement now? Because I know for our parents, you know, 65, that was it. You could retire then if you wanted to.
There's a lot packed into that question. So let me hit a couple of things on that one. So we'll come back to the pension thing here in a little bit, but let's first start with just the American view of retirement. I think that is a big change that's happened over the last couple of generations. So let's think back even past our parents' generation, go back to maybe our grandparents' generation or beyond, and look at their view of retirement compared to today's view of retirement. So we always talk about the American dream and retiring early. And if we take that back to Scripture, what's the closest example we find to that? It's actually the parable of the rich fool that we find in Luke 12, where he had a bumper crop, and what did he do? He stored it up, and he said, I'm going to sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. So not a very good comparison to what we call the American dream. So I think there's been this disconnect over time. Again, we go back to our grandparents' generation. We've got the Great Depression era, and I believe that they really valued the idea of saving, the idea of working, not taking things for granted, where the longer we go from that and the more years of plenty that we have, each generation becomes a little more affluent in how we're spending our money and a little less dependent on work and valuing the work, labor, all of those relationships. So again, let's hit a couple points here. So number one, we're no longer seeing as a society work as a blessing, but as a curse that should be avoided. And again, that's not a biblical viewpoint. We should be looking at work as a way of providing for our families, but also serving God and serving those around us. And we're living longer, and we're desiring to work less, so we want to retire early, get out of work. But yet, the statistics show that the odds of someone in a married couple living past 90 is pretty high, that actually one of those two people is going to live past 90. So if we're retiring at 65, that's a minimum of 25 years that we have to live off of savings, not off of the income that we're earning. That's a long time for savings to try to provide for us. We also have more expensive lifestyles. So as each generation has gone, you can probably, again, think back to your grandparents and how they lived. Our lifestyle costs a whole lot more than it used to back then, just because we've developed this different taste of what a lifestyle should look like. And then the last thing I'll say is, a lot of us now aren't the greatest savers either. So, again, take it back to the grandparents' generation. They lived without, and they were very good at saving. And the farther we get from that generation, the worse we become at actually setting money aside for those future purposes.
Well, how should employers be helping their employees to prevent this future retirement crisis, Brad? Is there something more that they can do, or really is it on us as employees in this day and age to make sure that we have what is needed down the road?
Well, and it's kind of a two-part thing. So this will take us back to your pension question. So companies used to provide pensions where the risk of saving or the burden of saving and the risk of the investments fell on the employer. And then you worked at that company for most of your life was kind of the way it used to work. And when you retired, you had a guaranteed income stream. Well, back in 1978, the 401k plan came into existence, and it was designed to originally just be something so that employees could also start saving on a pre-tax basis and fund their own retirement. The problem was, and the unintended consequence of that, was that employers, as they started seeing individuals saving for their retirement, they started to scale back on the pensions and stopped offering them to employees. So it took the burden off of them and really shifted the burden onto employees. So now employees are responsible for saving for their retirement and picking the investments. And it turns out most employees are not very good at that. So as the employer, what can they do to try to help stem this problem? And number one, they can make sure that they're offering a good savings plan for their employees. So we know just from statistics that most employees aren't going to go out and save for retirement on their own. So employers offering a workplace plan where employees can save from their paycheck before they ever see the money is much more likely to succeed. We also see from statistics that even when you offer that plan, about half of employees aren't going to sign up for it on their own. So employers can either go out and personally talk to these people, provide educational training, whatever it takes to try to get more people to sign up for it, or even choosing what they call auto-enrollment, where a person has to actually opt out of the plan in order to not be having money taken from their paycheck and put into it. And what we see from those statistics is that only about 10% of people actually opt out when it's an automatic enrollment situation. So then you go from about 50% signing up to now 90% are actually signing up and saving for it. And then the design of the plan is also important. So are you offering good options, low fees, financial advice with the plan, and are you also providing a company match for your employees to give them an incentive to save, but also make that contribution to their plan to help them grow it faster too?
We're talking with Brad Graber. He's our financial advisor. You can check out his website, investinginTruth.com. Brad, I want to ask you this. We know, obviously, the sooner we plan for retirement, the better. I think when we look back to our 20s, you probably don't even put that much emphasis on retirement like you should. But what happens to a woman who's been married, all of a sudden she's single, the circumstances don't really matter, but she's single, she's basically was relying on her husband's income. Now she's got to go out in her mid-50s and work, and she's got to work full-time. How can she have hope in retirement?
Well, our hope is always in Christ, so let's not put our hope in the financial things. But we do still have to deal with the financial things, so it is a valid question. So we always have to start with where we are. Yeah, situation changed. It got a whole lot tougher. It's not as exciting to think about what it's going to be down the road, but we have to start where we are. And that means let's not delay it any longer. We got to start putting money away from day one. So sign up for that plan, or if you don't have a plan at work, go figure out the best way to actually start saving for your retirement on your own. Get advice so that you got somebody that's sitting there feeding into you, whether that's through your workplace, whether it's a good trusted friend. Just find wise counsel that can help feed into that situation. And then look to, number one, if you get a company match, make sure you're taking advantage of that. So if they're matching 4% of your income or 6% of your income, that's your first target, because you want to get as much of that free money to you. It costs your employer, but they're giving it to you as a free benefit. Make sure you're getting that as much of that as you can, because that's just going to grow your account that much faster. And then as time goes by and you realize that you're okay, you can still provide for your family by saving X dollars, look to increase that. So every year increase it, or as you get a pay increase, look to bump that every time you possibly can to get it ultimately to where it needs to be. It's a slow start, but it's amazing how just year over year, if you're doing those small increases and just being disciplined at saving, those accounts will grow a lot faster than you think they will.
Hey, Brad, one last quick question before we let you go this morning. Social Security, we've heard so much for so many years that it's dying. It's not going to be available for this generation or that generation. And in past generations, that's something they've been able to rely on. What is the state of Social Security, and is it still fairly solid as a base income in our retirement years?
Well, it's unfortunate we even have to have this conversation, but it's an obvious one when we have to talk about it. It's the elephant in the room. And it continues to move towards a day when it's no longer going to be financially viable. I think as we look at it for the generation that's already retired, I don't expect any massive changes for them, maybe not any changes for them. I think the changes that are going to happen are going to be in the younger generation because we're really not counting on it anyway. As we're putting money into Social Security, it's like, you know, I better be saving for my own retirement because I don't plan for that to ever be there. So because of that, that's the mentality we should be having, by the way, because it's not all that reliable for the younger generation, because I think that's where politicians are going to be able to make the cuts and not sacrifice their reelection campaigns. If they start talking politically about cutting benefits for seniors that are already retired or near retirement, it's political suicide. So it's going to be really hard to see that change take place. But that first step is let's cut benefits for the future generations that aren't really counting on it that much anyway, and they're still going to be paying into the system, which funds the people that are already in retirement, but yet they don't see a lot of benefits coming their way in the future, so they have to start saving more on their own and be more disciplined for that, which is where we all should be anyway. It's a nice benefit, but if we can plan for retirement not counting on that, that's probably the wisest move we have.